Greetings to you all. This evening I'd like us to look at three responses to the announcement of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three responses to the announcement of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read from Luke and chapter 1, and we saw this beautiful story of the announcement of our Lord Jesus Christ to Mary. And I just want to observe a few things as we start considering this together. As the angel comes to Mary, he says some words in verse 30, and this is what the Bible says. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This was in the first response. Secondly, we also see the angel appearing to Joseph. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of God, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" The phrase I'm interested in, "do not be afraid." Remember, that's what Mary was taught. Joseph is also taught, "do not be afraid." But there is yet another story where we see an angel of the Lord appearing, announcing the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Again, I'm interested in the two words, "do not be afraid," or the three words. We see therefore, brethren, that three times God sent angels to the earth to announce the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see in these three instances, or when we look at this, we notice that three times the angel uses "fear not." This evening, I'd like us to learn from the three responses that we see. Of course, it is Christmas time, and would like to keep ourselves reminded of the season and what is happening. But at the same time, today being the last time that we are meeting, it is important that we learn something from "fear not." Therefore, brethren, I would like us to look at the first scenario that we have, the first response that we have. As the angel says, "fear not." And what the angel is saying in the first place to Mary is, "do not fear God's providence." This is what the angel is saying. Remember, as we read from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to 38, this is a story of Mary. And when we consider what is happening here, we see that Mary was given this news that she was going to conceive, or that she was appointed to bear God's child. Now, at this point in time, we can safely say that she's pregnant. And what we see here is that the angel is saying, do not fear God's providence. Perhaps we should remind ourselves of what providence is. When we talk about providence, we are talking about the care, the guardianship, and the control exercised by God as He gives us divine direction. In other words, we are not just talking about God watching over us, we are talking about God being involved in everything that happens. And in this case, in Mary's case, God has intervened. She has never known a man, but she is actually pregnant, as it were. There we see God's providence. And it is such a big thing. It is such a hard thing to understand. But as we see this lady, or this girl Mary, being told not to fear providence, we must appreciate the circumstances surrounding this particular lady. One of the things that we see about Mary is that she is calm in verse 26 and 27. We also notice that according to the text, she maintained her sexual purity. Not just her sexual purity, but she maintained her spiritual purity. And we are talking about a person who has been godly, yet she's faced with providence, conceiving. Yet, she did not know any man. We therefore see that there is a challenge in Mary's life. This challenge is big. This challenge is hard to understand. Who will believe Mary that it is true she is actually conceived of the Holy Spirit? Obviously, people are going to say, she is not telling the truth. It has never happened before. When Gabriel makes his announcement to Mary, her life is changed. It is as though things have been turned upside down. Mary is called upon to bear shame, to bear reproach, humiliation for the glory of God. We see that what is about to come upon Mary is what we may term or call a tremendous social stigma. There is going to be this social stigma upon Mary. Everyone will be talking about her life. Everyone will be talking about how embarrassing it is for her to be pregnant. It is a trial before Mary. And sometimes, without wasting much of our time, we notice that when God's providence comes, men do fear. It is always difficult to understand when providence comes our way. And in this case, Mary didn't know she was going to be such a blessed woman. She didn't know she was going to be responsible and to carry the Savior of the world. She has a challenge. And I must also point out that it is not just the negative aspect of her life which comes out in this text.
But we must also look at the positive aspect. And the positive aspect is that she is the most blessed woman, if I may call it that way. No other woman here on earth is to be blessed in this way. She is the only one who would bear and carry the Savior of the world. Beloved friends and brethren, what we are seeing here is very easy to talk about, but you put yourself in Mary's shoes. What we also notice about Mary in this situation is that she was submissive to God. As the angel says, she is the one who's been appointed and she's conceived of the Holy Spirit, as it were. We do not see Mary debating about issues. We do not see Mary arguing with the angel. But rather, we see Mary submitting to the will of God. Something interesting in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This was her response. She submitted herself to the Lord's will. She did not fight God's providence. We see that as Christians, for as long as we don't understand these things, for as long as we don't wear specks of providence to read what is before us, we will never respond like Mary did. Here is her consecration in verse 38. Despite the shame that was sure to come her way, despite the humiliation she would bear, Mary was willing to submit to God. Beloved friends, when providence comes our way, it is not always that we submit ourselves to God. But here is Mary. We see something interesting as well. That when God sends this angel to Mary, when God appears, in inverted commas, to Mary, and he tells her of what is going to happen, it is also important that God says the same thing to Joseph. Can you imagine for a minute if God only revealed this message to Mary and not to Joseph? Obviously, Joseph wasn't going to believe. Other people were not going to believe. But here is a God who wants the situation to unfold and to be understood and to be appreciated. In the second place, we go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 to 25. Remember, I did read from this particular passage and verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And all those things are mentioned. This is the second response to the announcement of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Mary and her circumstances. Despite what she's bearing, what is about to come, she submitted herself to the will of God. Secondly, In Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 25, we see the story of Joseph. And when you look at what the angel is saying to Joseph, the angel is saying, do not fear God's plan. In the first place, it was providence in that God did something extraordinary. He intervened and worked things the way they were. In the second instance here, we see that he has a plan, and he is telling Joseph what that plan is. But we must appreciate a few things relating to Joseph's situation. Verse 18 to 19, the pain of Joseph. Read with me verse 18 to 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Verses 18 and 19 are telling us about Joseph's pain. He is in a predicament. Why do we say so? Mary was pregnant, and Joseph wasn't the father. With his dreams shattered, his hopes shattered, a few other things we notice about his life, obviously his pride lost, his life seemingly looking over, he had two possible solutions. He could divorce her quietly, as we read here. He had in mind what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and in Deuteronomy chapter 24. What do we see in these two passages? We see that in the Old Testament, whenever a woman committed adultery, there was this possibility and commandment, so to speak, that you would stone her to death. And this was one possibility that Joseph had. He was going to bring Mary out there for her to be stoned. But also, there is another possibility, and this is in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy, where we are told that a man can actually give his wife a divorce certificate. So in other words, we see the pain. This man has no rest. This man is troubled. This man thinks everyone else is already laughing at him. And if this was to happen to you, you'll probably ask where God is. This is the pain of Joseph's life. Sometimes, when God's plan unfolds, it brings upon ourselves pain. It is not every time that when God's plan unfolds that we are going to be all merry. Look at Joseph. The announcement of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ has brought a number of things that he didn't know. But still, even when he knows, he has to deal with the prevailing circumstances upon his life. Just like Mary, Joseph's life was turned upside down. Just like I said for Mary, she was pregnant, she never knew any man. The positive side was that she was the most blessed woman. she was going to carry the Savior of the world. Even with Joseph, inasmuch as there's this dark cloud around his life, we see that on the other hand, he is also the most blessed man because he has the privilege of raising up God's child. And that's the positive that we see about this. So inasmuch as we know that this story is about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many lessons that we can learn, especially as we come to the end of the year. Sometimes life seems so negative, with no light at the end of the tunnel. Remember Joseph, in these very circumstances, he is also the most privileged, as it were. In verse 20 to 23, as Joseph pondered what to do about this situation, God sent an angel, and the angel gave him the plan which God had. Indeed, through these words, he found that he was the chosen one. Joseph's pain, Joseph's privilege. Let's look in verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the Lord, the angel of the Lord, commanded him and took to him his wife. Again, like we saw in Mary's case, Mary, who said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord," and she submitted herself to the will of God, Joseph also submits to the will of God. Look at Joseph's submission to the will of God as God's plan has been revealed to him. Joseph willingly took the assignment which was offered to him by God. This man did as the angel of the Lord commanded. What we see about this man's response to God's plan which has been revealed to him is that he, like Mary, does not take time to question, does not take time to argue. Because sometimes as Christians, because we are engaged in this religion where we have to reason with our minds, because we are intellectuals, because we have accumulated doctrine, sometimes we begin to wrestle with these things forever using the human perspective of looking at things. God's plan reveals to him. This is how we ought to respond to God's plan. Sometimes God's plan is not as easy as you may want to have it presented to you. But remember, in Joseph's case, the Lord comes to him when he is troubled. There is a lesson that we see here, that when God is carrying out his work, just like if you can remember in Job chapter 1, when the angels went to present themselves before God, Satan was also in their company, and he begins to talk to God, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And all that conversation and what was going on, and the Lord giving him permission, as he is down there, he doesn't know about this heavenly conversation. So it was in Joseph's situation as well. He didn't know about these things. And you and I must begin to learn these truths and the reality of life. It is not everything that we are going to know. When God is planning things, sometimes we may not even be aware. In fact, most of the times, we are not aware that there is such a plan. or a conversation in heaven. So fear not God's plan. Fear not God's providence. We also see in the third place, and we go back to Luke, the response of the shepherd. And in this case, what is the angel saying? The angel is saying, do not fear God's presentation. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, we have this story of the shepherds. Now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward them. The story continues. Apart from the Lord appearing to Mary and to Joseph, we see that the Lord also appears to the shepherds. But again, what I said is that if you can only imagine the angel appearing to Mary alone, not Joseph, Joseph wasn't going to believe the testimony. But again, also, if the two of them were the only ones that saw and received this message, probably you are going to say that they connive. Because we are aware that there are couples who connive, couples who tell lies. Remember the story of Ananias? Remember there are people who actually sit together and say it is a miracle baby. And you can't argue with them because the two of them have actually said it. But remember, God is working out everything so perfectly well, leaving no room for doubt. He reveals himself to the shepherds also. Let's examine these shepherds. Or rather, let's remind ourselves of a few things about the shepherds. The shepherds were social outcasts in that day. These people were not good men. They were dirty in appearance, but also vulgar. They were smelly. Notice with me that they were not just separated from men, but they were also separated from God, in that they were not privileged to sit and worship in the temple. They were not privileged to take part in the ceremonies of the temple. These men had nothing good in them and about them. Do you remember something? This is the picture of natural man. the state of sin, separated from God because of our sins, doomed for eternity because of sin. These outcasts of society were privileged. They were given the first news outside the couple. Is it not interesting, beloved friends, to note that God's word is not meant for the rich, God's word is not meant for the sound, and that the mission of Christ to come into this world is to seek the lost? It is to seek those who are lost in sin and in darkness still. These men were not good in the sight of men, but they are the ones who receive this message. What is their response? Verse 15 of chapter 2, and look. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. Verse 15 to 20 talks about their lives. They left what they were doing. They left the sheep. They now went to look for this babe, which the Lord said was there. We see there's a complete turnaround of their business into doing God's business. Is it also not reminding us of how the disciples were called, "Leave your nets," as it were, "follow me"? And this is the picture that we find here about these men, the unlikable, the unprivileged, as it were, the outcasts of society, that at this point they come to him. Are you not also reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out? These are the three responses that we see regarding this particular story. Finally, in conclusion, what are we saying? This is what we are saying. This story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is showing us something of God's dealing with humankind, in that God sometimes will have a plan, and according to his providence, and he has lined up certain things to happen, and he graciously involves man into his plan. He graciously uses man to carry out his plan. And what we see here also is that truly God's promise is yea and amen. And whatever God intends to do, it shall surely come to pass. So even as we are reminded of this beautiful story of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, taking up a human form, dealing with human sin as it were, to come and liberate us from the sin, from darkness, from doom as it were, there are important aspects from these responses that are important also for us to apply as we come to the end of the year. Beloved friends, the end result of trials. A few lessons. Number one, the end result of trials is always to our benefit. It is always as the Lord intends it to be. Mary's trial, Joseph's trial, the end result, not only was it to their benefit, but to God's glory. When the Lord calls you to come and carry out a specific task, indeed you will not be ashamed. When the Lord says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," you will definitely find rest. You, as you are seated here, as a Christian, when you were called to God, you came to Him, you found this rest, and you have never been disappointed. If you call yourself a Christian and you have regretted having come to know Him, there is a problem. Mary's shame, Joseph's shame, in the end, it is not shame as it seems to be. Friends and brethren, we ought not to fear God's providence. There is a time, sometimes, when providence comes our way, that we stop looking at things from the perspective of God and providence. We pull down those specs and then we begin to reason within ourselves from the intellectual point of view and putting aside the biblical knowledge that we have. We ought not to fear, but respond in the way that Mary did. It was easy for her to submit and not to fear providence anymore because of her life. We are told she was godly. We are told she had kept her spiritual purity as well as her sexual purity. She was a good woman. And what we are saying is that if you are not properly positioned spiritually, you will not respond biblically. If you are not positioned well spiritually, you will not even think about God. Do not fear God's plan. Joseph was presented with that plan. He followed through. The last lesson is as simple as submit to God. As an individual, you must submit to God's will, providence, presentation. In the three instances, they submitted. Mary submitted. Joseph submitted. Even the shepherds submitted. Submission is important for you and me as a Christian. In other words, you must obey. For obedience is better than sacrifice. Submit to God. Indeed, as we come to the end of the year, we can safely say that the Lord has been with us. He was with these people we have mentioned here. The Lord has a plan, and indeed the plan has to be carried out. So those are some of the things that I wanted us to learn about responding to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three responses of Mary, of Joseph, and of the shepherd. I hope and pray that these things will help us to trust the Lord more, to know what He's doing. I sometimes give this example, and I've challenged quite a number of people, that they don't follow God. They don't submit themselves to God and to His will. It is as though God has to lead them in a specific area of their life, but not the other. They can't just let God lead them through life. And I say, people jump on that plane and say they are going to the UK, they are going to the States, name it. They entrust their lives into the pilot's hands. You have never seen the pilot before. You don't know whether he's sane or not. You rely on the fact that obviously they employ someone who is good. But these are the people who are responsible for your life, and they take you. What more of God? And this is the response of Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Entrusting, or should I say, trusting the Lord. Trusting and obeying. And the Lord indeed blessed them. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, for your care, for your mercy, grace. As we read these stories, we see these things, O God. Now, as we come to the end of our time together, we pray that you would continue ministering to us. Pray, eternal God, that these things we have been looking at will be of help to us. Lord, we now want to pray for each one of us that as we go our separate ways, that you go before us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.